And good morning, everyone. And it's a delight to be together. And I hope you all had a fabulous Christmas. And we just praise God for the privilege of being able to meet together like we are right now, because this is truly a fabulous blessing. And I also had a video that I was going to share with everyone. Found out that it has a copyright. But the whole point is about having hope. And this video was very helpful about it. It's a little song that was prepared about hope for everyone. And if that's not what we really need in the midst of this crisis, with even more severe crises coming on with this COVID-19 crisis, and we just need the hope that Jesus Christ gives to us. And so we'll be focusing on that here today as we do what it said in that first video that Brad played on the Faith Life video, to take a deeper look into the Word of God. And that's what we'll be doing here this morning. So let's begin with prayer. Again, Father, we humble ourselves before you. You want us to become a house of prayer. And Father, that's what we're here for. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to thank you for the hope you give to us, and the phenomenal hope you gave to us when your Son came to this earth and became flesh, so that he could be like us, that he could lead us the way. He could give us hope. He could show us what it's like to be a true Christian and to be always thinking about others and to loving every human being. We don't have to love what they do, but we can love them as human beings made in the very image of God. And so, God, we come before you to praise you, to worship you, and ask you now to teach us through your word so that we can draw closer to you and that we can really have this Christmas be a turning point in our lives where we become closer to you, that we can have a deeper understanding of your word, that we will have a passion to know you and to read your word, that will become our hobby, our desire, the first thing that comes to our mind, so that we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, because Jesus came to be the hope of this world. And we thank you, Father, for sending him to us as such a priceless gift. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. And so what I'd like to dive into here as we focus on what we are learning during this Christmas, we need to focus what the whole Bible focuses on. It's all about Jesus. He came as a little baby in a manger, and he was persecuted. I mean, right after he was born, they went after him and tried to kill him, and they ended up killing all the babies in Bethlehem after Jesus escaped by the skin of his teeth, heading out of town, being warned by an angel. But that's the world we live in. This is a world of sin, and Satan is the god of this world, and he's looking for any way that he can possibly come up with to try to persecute us. And he did that to Jesus, and that's why Jesus came, so that he could show us how to deal with it. And if there's anything that we learn from Jesus, is Jesus told us straight out. He said, I can do nothing of them by myself. John 5, verse 30, he says, my Father in me, he does the works. And that's what we need to learn as we dive into 1 John chapter 2 today. We are going to see where our hope comes from. It comes from Jesus. He is our hope, and we have this hope that gives us life in the midst of a crisis, and that we have no fear. We don't have to be afraid of anything, because Jesus Christ has given us the opposite of fear, which is faith. Faith and fear are opposites, and we have nothing to fear. Jesus Christ didn't even fear death. There's pain, and he didn't want to go through that any more than we want to go through our trials. But yet he endured those trials, and he prayed. Just before he was crucified, he went and prayed three different times the very same thing, saying, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, please let it pass from me. And some of us may be saying that very same thing with whatever crisis that we're going through. Oh, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can be passed from me, please let it pass. But yet, Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you will be glorified together. So in order for us to reign with Christ, there has to be a certain amount of suffering. And that gives us great hope because we know that Jesus Christ is going to deliver us out of all of our afflictions because he said that he would. So let's dive into 1 John, and we'll dive into in an overview of the first chapter very quickly. But notice what he says here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which we have heard from the beginning, which we have heard, which have seen with our eyes. This is John speaking on behalf of all the disciples or the apostles. That we have looked at and our hands have touched. Because people doubt. There's many people today, even individuals who claim to be Christians, that doubt a lot of the things that Jesus Christ has said in his word, that he is actually the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh, and he came down to this world to give us hope and to rescue us from sin, because we are all sinners. That happened right in the Garden of Eden, and it's been passed on down through the ages. And we all desperately need to be delivered. And that's why Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to be our deliverer. And so here John is saying, in case anybody tries to tell you otherwise, we were with this life, this light, this word of life. The life appeared, verse 2, and we have seen it and testified to it. Because they saw him do miracle and miracle after miracle and doing amazing things. And what a spectacular example for us. And we're going to see here in chapter 2 how this can be a part of our lives. And it already is, but how to incorporate it even more so than ever before. And it's very simple. And it is able to take away all our doubts and give us tremendous hope, especially in the world we're living in right now. The life appeared, we have seen it, testified it, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and now has appeared to us when he came on that Bethlehem morning when he was born in a stable in a manger. And we proclaim this to you, what we have seen, so that you may have fellowship with us, because God wants us to have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to spend time together. And that's what we're doing right here as we listen to him teach us through the Apostle John. And so here's the message that we've heard from the very beginning, that God is light. So you don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to wonder what's going on. This book right here gives you all the answers to life. But Satan will do everything conceivable to keep you away from it. Keep you busy. That's being under Satan's yoke. He'll do everything to keep you away. But this is the message that God is light. And if you walk in this light right here, the light to show you the way to live, the way God wants you to live, then you can have the abundant life full of hope with peace and joy and love that transcends anything that you can concoct up on your own. And he goes on to say, if we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, in other words, if you're just going along and trying to figure things out on your own and not listening to the word of God, then you're barking up the wrong tree, because you're not going to catch the rabbit up that tree, because that's not what it's all about. It's about Jesus. Jesus is our hope, and he's going to tell us how that hope comes alive in us today, so we can be filled with hope and joy and peace. And he goes on to say, if we walk in the light, and I emphasize the in, I-N, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's why we get together and we fellowship, because we have this wonderful gift in common. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of Jesus. It's the gift that Christmas is all about. The gift that Jesus Christ was given to us to rescue us from this sin that deceives us and makes us feel like a failure, feel like there's no hope because we keep making mistakes that we think there's no hope. I just can't get my act together. Well, Jesus gives us the hope that it's not about you getting your act together. It's a matter of getting Jesus Christ in your heart so that he is running your life. Let's read this as we go on. So if we walk in the light, and God is light, as he is in the light, because Jesus Christ did exactly what his Father commanded him to do, and that's what he wants us to do, and we'll read that in a moment. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. That's every sin, past, present, and future. So that when you appear before God the Father, who is the righteous judge, that you will be completely righteous, pure, holy, because of the purity and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who abides in you. And then he goes on to say, if we claim to be without sin, you're just playing games. You're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in us, because God says all have sinned. And this is the struggle of this human life, is deceitfulness of sin, where you try to convince yourself that you're something that you're not. And the only way that we can have true righteousness, and we all know this, but we need to be reminded, because again, our human nature comes back and wants to do things without prayer and without reading the Bible. And you can't. The inward man is renewed day by day. If you're not reading your Bible and staying into constant communication with the Father, then like a sheep, you're going to be led astray by your human nature, because your human nature is the very nature of Satan, the devil. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, Christians know that, because God plainly says so in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And in many other places. So he goes on to say, but if we confess our sins and just admit it, God wants us to be humble and to just say, God, we need you. We need you desperately. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, because he is our rescuer. He's our savior. He's our deliverer. He's our hope. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful. It didn't say you are faithful. He is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So God just wants to make sure we understand that it's not about us being righteous. It's about him being righteous through us, so that it's his righteousness. We must never miss that. That's what this is all about. And we'll see this now very clearly as we dive into chapter 2. My dear children, John says about you, I write this to you so that you will not sin, because sin just hurts you. And he doesn't want us to be hurting all the time. The more that we can avoid sin, the better off we're going to be. And so he just says, just stay away from that. If you know that the stove is going to be hot, you just don't touch it. Just leave it alone. But if anyone does sin, and it's going to happen, here's the good news. Here's the hope. Here's the true joy that we can receive through Jesus Christ. If anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He's our defender, and he speaks to the Father. That's why it says over there in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray like we ought to, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which we can't even begin to grasp and wrap our minds around or understand. And he intercedes to the Father for us through Jesus Christ. Say, you know, I know what that's like. I was there. I was in the flesh. I know what a struggle that this is. And the Father and the Son are one. and they are on the same page. So we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for yours or for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that's why I wanted to play that video. It's just a song, but there's hope for everyone. There is hope for everyone. And for those who are willing to listen, you can share that hope with them, because so many people are hopeless. And they feel like 2020 went down the tubes. Now 2021, they say, is going to even be worse with this new strain coming out and people dying here and so forth. And you don't know what to believe because it's just so chaotic. But we knew this was going to happen. The book of Revelation talks about it. Disease epidemics, and we have not even begun to see that happen like it's going to happen yet. So he goes on to say, we know that we have come to know him. It's all about knowing him. He says there in John 17, that's in the major gospel book of John, chapter 17, verse 3, that this is eternal life, to know the Father, because if you know Jesus, you know the Father, because Jesus said so. He that has seen me has seen the Father, and you know the Father, because the Father and the Son are one, and they are alike. And so he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. How in the world are you going to know what his commands are if you never read them? That's something to think about. Just like that video on Faith Life said, that we're going to look more deeply into the Word of God. If you're not reading the Bible, there's no way in a million years you can obey Jesus. You can't do it because he says so. You have to be reading the Word of God. Now, maybe you can't read because you can't see, but they have all sorts of tools today. You can hear, there's the Bible app, and you can just download it for free, and it'll read to you. And all you have to do is listen. You don't even have to be able to see with your eyes. God's word is available. God's word is more Bibles than any other book. And it's published in every possible conceivable language. Do you think there might be a reason why that is? What if it has anything to do with God's love in giving hope to this world? Because that hope is in this book right here, in the word of God. That's where your hope is. Because Jesus Christ is that word. It says in the very first verse of John chapter 1 in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him was not anything made that was made. So verse 4 of 1 John 2 goes on to say, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is... I think most everybody's read this, but just think about that. God says, you are a liar. The man that says, I know God, I know Jesus, but does not do what he commands is a liar, because you do not know him if you're not doing what he says. That's God's definition of knowing him. Our definition is irrelevant. God's definition reigns supreme. If you know God, you are going to be in obedience to his commands, and you have to read them and know what they are and ask Jesus Christ to live that life of Jesus in your heart. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5. So he that says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth, now a lot of people wonder what the truth is. They think it's a whole set of doctrines. That may be one aspect of it, but the truth is a person. Most people don't know that. The truth is a person. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, he said. He is the truth. That's why the Bible is the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth, because thy word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. So it all boils down to Jesus Christ and how we relate to him. But if anyone obeys his word, verse 5, 1 John 2, verse 5, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. There's only one way that you can walk like Jesus walked, and you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, into your mind, and to take charge of your life. You voluntarily surrender your life. That's called baptism, where you surrender your life and you bury yourself in that watery grave so that it's no longer what you think and what you want to do, but you now come out of that watery grave being born again to a new way of life, and that is where Jesus Christ is in charge of your life. And you are surrendering to his will and to his word, because his word is describing his will. And so he goes on to say, verse 7, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command. This has been around for years, which you have seen from the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. So if you want to get the overview of what God is looking for you to be walking like Jesus walked, this is what he did. Let's read it. This old command is the message that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him. See, it's not just about him. It's about being in him, and he is in us. Lots of people know about Jesus, and they think, well, I know him. Well, just because you know who he is and what he's about doesn't mean anything. It has everything to do with whether you have surrendered your life, and you let him live his life within you, and you have his righteousness and not your own. And this is, we're going to see that you already know this, but you need to be reminded again and again and again. And he is going to remind us again and again and again and again in this same chapter. Let's notice. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing. The darkness is the world's way of looking at it. The way I know about him, but as long as I do what I think is right, then everything's going to be fine. No. That's darkness. There's a way that seems right, but it ends in death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 makes that very clear. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Because if you hate your brother, now that doesn't mean you can't hate what he does. There's nothing wrong with hating sin. That's what people do. But the actual person, Jesus loved sinners. He came to save them. And we need to love sinners. Otherwise, how can they ever desire to come to us for advice or for help or for encouragement if they feel like we look down on them? So we need to be like Jesus, who reached out to the most unlikely people, because he loves them. He came to save the whole world. God so loved the people in the world, but he hates the sin. He goes on to say, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble, because that's Jesus. And Jesus is not going to cause people to stumble unless they want nothing to do with the truth. But he's not going to stumble, and because God's way is righteous and it's perfect. But whoever hates his brother is living in darkness and walks around in the darkness. And I've tried that before, walking around in the darkness. And you know what? You can really hurt your toe. You can do all sorts of damage to your body when you're walking around in the darkness. And when that light turns on, all of a sudden you can see. That's what this book is all about. It turns the light on, so that you can see how to live, to avoid getting into trouble, to avoid depression, to avoid self-inflicted torture that so many people are going through because they don't believe Jesus and they don't understand how to have him live in them. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness, and he doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. And so notice this. He writes this. He wants you to know whether you're a little child or whether you are a dad or a mom or whoever you might be, that this is for you. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And we can be teaching our children and our grandchildren if they're willing to listen and so on. I write to you, fathers, those who are older or those who are elders, those who are up in years or the seniors and so on, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Because we know him because we've been seeking his presence in our lives. And so it's just a matter of building that relationship where we let him take charge in our lives. I write to you, young men, talking about teenagers and young adults, because you have overcome the evil one. He's speaking to the church. Just because you make mistakes doesn't mean you don't have Jesus living in you. That happens to everyone. And God just wants us to understand that if you do sin, you've got an intercessor there eager to step in and forgive you so that you can get back up on your feet and start running the race again like you were to begin with. I write to you, fathers, again, the same thing, because you have known him from who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you're strong. You are strong in the faith. If the word of God lives in you, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. How do we overcome the evil one, Satan, the devil? It's by Jesus Christ living in us. We invite him every morning, noon, and night, like David prayed 3 times a day. God, live in me. Give me everything that I need so that I can resist the devil, and he will flee from me, and I can draw nigh to you, and he will draw nigh to us. But it's a constant relationship. He goes on to say in verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, when it's talking about the world, it's talking about the world's way of life, where they twist the word of God, or they try to kick God out of the school so that you can't have access to prayer or to the Bible and so on. That's the world. The God of this world is Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And God says, do not love the world or the world's way or anything in the world that is based on what it's going to read in the next 2 verses. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, that human nature that Satan is working through, it's the lust of the eyes. It's anything that is missing the mark, anything that is unbalanced, whether it's your finances and you go off on a spending spree and you don't use balance and temperance. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But this is the hope that God gives to us. That hope is Jesus living in us, giving you control over your finances so that you don't go off the deep end or go off the deep end in anything to do with sexual matters. That we just obey the word of God. The word of God is very clear. But the world says you can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter as long as it feels good. That is not truth. That is darkness. And you're going to stumble and you're going to get in a whole heap of trouble. And he goes on to say, the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and what he does, trying to get all the glory for yourself, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever, because Jesus Christ is living in you and he is your eternal life. So, dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have been heard that the Antichrist is coming. Antichrist is anybody who is contrary to what these words are saying in the scriptures. And it says, this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So they're going to be people who are going to leave the church, that leave the truth, because they're going to try to find happiness on their own. And God says, that's their choice. You can't change people. But you, he says, verse 20, have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is the word of God. We need to never forget that and make sure that we're imbibing and drinking in of the Word of God every day so that you are filling yourself full. Like you fill your gas tank up with gasoline, you need to fill up your spiritual tank with the Word of God every day to make sure you're tanked up and ready for the day. But I do not write to you because you do not know the truth. Verse 21, every one of us here right now, you know the truth. The truth is a person, and you know what he says in his word. But if you don't continue to read it, you're going to be led astray, just like Adam and Eve were led astray in the Garden of Eden. But because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth, when you're reading the Bible, there's no lie going to come from that. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that was sent to this world to rescue us from sin by living his life within us. That's true grace, where Jesus Christ gives us that forgiveness that we do not deserve. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. And there are so many individuals online today, you need to be very careful. Never, ever, ever follow a man. One lesson that we learned growing up in Grace Communion International and the Worldwide Church of God, the former leader just said, don't believe me, believe your Bible. Well, even though he didn't understand it, what he said was so accurate. Believe your Bible, don't follow a man. And make sure you don't follow anybody that is a human being. Don't follow me. Like the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Then verse 24, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. That's Jesus. He was in the very beginning, that read in 1 John 1 and verse 1. If he does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And so here we see that when you have Jesus Christ in you, you have the Father in you also, because the Father is in the Son. And that's something that only spirit beings can do, but he lives in us. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. And that's the spectacular hope that we have, that we are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, and you will no longer have any more pain, sorrow, suffering, or death. You will be like Jesus was after his resurrection. You'll be able to rise in the air. You will not be subject to gravity. You will have a perfect spiritual body with a whole new name that Jesus Christ gives to you, and you will be symbolically married to the very creator of the universe. I mean, this is grace beyond comprehension. And go on, he says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray, because Satan is going to do everything to try to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. So don't think you have to be taught by a human being. If you are on an island somewhere and you've got the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Just ask God to keep you from the evil one and to protect you and to open your eyes and to the understanding of God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will teach you every morning when you open your Bible. You don't have to listen to somebody on the radio to understand it. That's fine. But just make sure that he is reading the Word of God and he's rightly dividing the Word of truth. But you read it on your own. That was a big eye-opener to me, reading the book of Galatians, which I never understood before. And then all of a sudden, wow, I had no idea. This makes everything so much clearer than I had ever seen before. So I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain what? In him. How many times does it say that? that we need to remain in him, in him, in him, in him, he and us and him and us and him. It's a relationship. It's an interaction where we are communicating with God and we're asking him to open our eyes to understand the word of God as we read it. And he teaches us right straight out of his priceless scriptures that he's given to us. And so now the last few couple of verses. And now, dear children, John says, you, and he's speaking to you all of us right here. And now, dear children, continue in him, Jesus. So you have him, continue in him, and let him run your life so that you don't have to have all these negative thoughts and feelings and worries and doubts and apprehensions and fears, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, which he is, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. That is priceless. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's a priceless gift. It gives us hope in the midst of this chaotic world. We don't have to be afraid of what's going on because Jesus Christ is right in there, in the midst of this. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, no pandemic, no disease. Read Psalm 91. We don't have to be afraid. We just need to be wise and careful and to use discretion and be above reproach and obey the words of God. And God will always deliver us out of all of our afflictions. So let's just praise God, and now as we continue the remainder of this Christmas season, to just thank him for the hope that he has given to us. That hope is Jesus Christ, and let's thank him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you are our hope, that you are our rescuer from sin, that we don't have to be perfect, that you are perfect, and when you live your life in us, you give us your perfection. And so, God, we just want you. We want the Holy Spirit. We want you, Father, to live in us and to stay in us, and we don't want to stray one iota away from your word. We want to be obedient to your word. We want to read your word so that that becomes our passion, rather than any other distraction in our lives. And so thank you for giving us your word, and thank you that your word is a person and that your word is truth and that we can have light rather than darkness in our lives. We don't have to be stumbling around in this world, but rather we can move forward in faith because we can see clearly how you are working through this, that we can be actually thankful for how you have been with us during this pandemic, during 2020, and it has been a very, very profitable year. And I thank you, Father, for being with us in the midst of all this so that we have not had to worry, but we have our hope in you. And so all praise goes to you. We thank you, and we give all the glory and the honor into the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.